on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city needs saving.
What happened to you? The right to remain silent.
I'm in the future.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you really heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Supergirl, DC on CW, Supergirl Edition, Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile by downloading the Rain Man Digital app. It's available in the iTunes App Store and Google Play. Simply search Rain Man Digital. You can also find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher by searching DC on CW. And once you find us there, please go ahead and leave us a review. It helps us out a lot. Today it's going to be me, Lauren Alexander, and Bobby D.
Hello, hello.
Hanging out, talking Supergirl Season 3, Episode 19, The Fanatical. Covell's cult returns as they try to use the Book of Rao to make their own world killer. So we're coming up on the end of the season here, and we only have one bit of news for next season.
It just seemed weird that they're already jumping the next season. When you had sent this to me, that's sort of the first thing I thought. I was like, wow, we're already talking about next year. Shouldn't we finish off like the last five episodes or four episodes?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not upset to see that they've thought something through and they're casting, you know? So Supergirl, or season four, is going to be casting a transgender character. It seemed a little out of left field when I initially read it, but after watching this episode, it seems like they're really getting back to tackling social issues and unapologetically. You know, they have chosen their side, and it is a very liberal show. It's a very like progressive liberal viewpoint.
Yeah,
for this show, that's just it's very feminist. It's very all of these things. It's very pro-equality and all people are people. So if that's not your thing and if that's not what you believe, Supergirl's not the show for you. And I think that everyone that watches it should know that by now. I think the first season alone was pretty evident that that's what that was going to be. And they kind of lost that for a minute, I think. And they're getting back to it. And I don't mind that. I don't mind a show having an opinion. Even if it's an opinion that I don't believe in, I might be like, and maybe then that's not the show for me to watch. You know, maybe whatever. People complain that it alienates viewers, but like not every show is for every person.
Yeah. And my initial reaction when you sent it across, I was like, hi, I'm the CW. Do you want to know what my agenda is?
Yeah.
I think was my exact comment.
Yeah.
And it's again, it's always weird for me when I watch these superhero shows when they throw agenda type items. And like you said, with before this week, they'd kind of gotten away from them taking a stance on things.
So it seemed like a super just agenda pushing thing at that point, like before this week.
Yeah. And I'm kind of glad that we had time and this episode actually came up where, you know, where we saw Jimmy go through his struggles as a black man.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. It was just like, why are we doing transgender? Because we've had this argument across multiple shows where it's just like, oh, who's the flavor of the week? It's this. Iron Man will be that this week.
Yeah.
You know, so-and-so will be that. And we see these characters that come up that they automatically are, you know, they change genders, races to meet whatever the status quo, like the social issue of the week is. And that's the way I thought that this transgender thing came up from Supergirl. I was just like, why are we doing this? You guys have always been pretty open with, you know, Alex and, you know, her coming out and just a lot of the things that have gone on with aliens and making them a race thing and people hating on them. And you've always been real well. You've done it well. And I think one of the biggest things I had the issue with was that they announced it first.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think that they announced it, though. They put the casting call out.
And so it just became news like anything
else. Yeah. And the thing is that, because I had that initial thought, too, where I was like, why did you announce it? You know, it would have been cool to just introduce a character and then reveal that they happen to be trans.
Well, that, for an alien show, like, what is the sex anyways?
Yeah. But I thought about it more, especially after watching this episode. And honestly, this show, especially since it has kind of chosen where it stands on a lot of social issues and it doesn't apologize for it. And it just, you know, this is our stance. If you don't like
this
it.
This is who we are. If not, go fucking pound sand.
Yeah, just go watch another show. This show isn't for you then. You
There's
know what I mean?
There's plenty of TV out there.
Go watch Tim Allen's whatever the hell he has going on. If you think, you know, black people are lesser and if you think transgender people are lesser and whatever, that's fine. Okay. I mean, it's not really fine. It's not great, but like, go watch Tim Allen's show. You don't need to watch this one. It's okay.
There's other things out there.
But, you know, thinking about it, they do have a unique opportunity in that way to create representation. I can't think of a single actual transgendered character in a TV show.
Other than the Jeffrey Tambor thing where he got fired from.
Other than some sort of caricature or some sort of prop or something to laugh at, gag.
Louis Anderson and that comedy on FX.
Yeah, so I can't think of... And now, so here is the casting call. It's for a transgender woman in her early 20s. The character is being cast with open ethnicity. And she is supposed to be a young Cat Grant type. So a young, powerful, you know, strong-willed, confident, poised, sassy woman. And that to me says they're interested in creating representation for people who are transgender in a serious way and not as a prop.
Yeah, it's not like, wait, what bathroom did you go to?
Yeah, yeah. It's more of like, hey, we're going to create a unique new character and we have the opportunity and we have the viewership that will respond positively to a transgender character. We have the unique opportunity to do something like this. And I think they... With how well received Alex and Maggie's relationship was and how much of a following the show got from the LGBT community after that, with how well they portrayed it and how, you know, Kyler Lee reached out to Twitter and reached out to fans and was just like, I just want to do right by you guys. I'm really glad that you've responded well to this. You know, I want to play this character as full of heart and truthfully as I can. They probably almost felt a responsibility to go one step further at that point. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Supergirl's not a show where they're going to poke fun at a transgender character. They're going to be like, wow, that's cool. All right. Good for you.
Does this mean Jimmy's getting replaced or do you think it's underneath him? Like, let's go story-wise now because we know it's going into the, you know.
I would say with early 20s, I would say she's going to be up and coming and trying to take over.
Like a Kara replacement almost?
Yeah. Or she's gunning for Jimmy's job.
Okay.
Because I don't think James is out.
No.
But maybe he steps away from Catco. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll just see how this one ends this year. Because with... four more weeks left. And then, again, this is always why, like you said, it wasn't like they put out a press release. It was just
a casting call.
And unfortunately, I almost wish they would say, like, CW TV show 2394, like some kind of code.
Yeah.
You know, in Vancouver. Okay, cool. That's like every CW show. We don't really know.
So I think, honestly, like... the casting call wasn't even, I don't know what it was that was said specifically, but I did read the casting call itself, because I saw the casting company mm-hmm. posted it on Twitter and it was being retweeted and stuff like that. And it didn't say for Supergirl or anything like that, but I don't totally know. Let me see here.
I think it's what David Rappaport casting is the one that does all our shows.
It was actually someone different.
Oh,
yeah. It was a woman. I can't find it right now. Okay. It would take me way too long. But,
hey, no worries.
But yeah, I don't know. And maybe it was just a different copy of it too for Twitter. I have no idea. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure different agents get a more descriptive casting call
yeah.
than the internet does. but anywho, I don't know. After this week, it doesn't feel so out of left field.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting, at least, way to see what take they go with it. And, you know, again, with being aliens and all kinds of other things that have been accepted in this world, it'll be interesting to see how they play it.
One of the things that I like about this show is that they don't write a character, they don't just write a gay character. They write a character, and then that character turns out to be gay.
Yes.
Happens to be gay. And that is...
they're not going to go the stereotypical, like, Caitlyn Jenner, like, hi.
Yeah, they don't make a spectacle out of it. They had a story arc for Alex, because going through coming out and, you know, realizing things about yourself is a big deal, mm-hmm. especially for someone doing it so late in life. But, well, not late, but, like, you know, a lot of people come out as, like, a teenager or something.
Yeah.
And they don't write alien characters for the most part. You know what I mean? Like, they write a character and that character turns out or happens to be alien.
Yeah.
With the exception of, like, Brainy, because he's an existing alien character that's obviously supposed to act way different. But, like, who was it? Wynn's ex-girlfriend? I forgot her name already, but, you know, the alien he was dating for mm-hmm. a minute. She was just a chick. And she happened to be an alien.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
And I think that's how they have to continue to write any character in this yeah. world, is just play him like it's, you know, Joe Schmo walking down the street that just happens to be something else.
Yeah, exactly. All right. With that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll jump into the episode.
I love it.
Are you crying?
No.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, DEAL30, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And for your viewing pleasure, 6 free spicy movies on DVD, plus
free shipping.
Always sent in discreet packaging. So go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code DEAL30. Again, that's DEAL30, because without it,
no free stuff.
That's DEAL30 at adamandeve.com.
Hey guys, did you know that Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service? That's right, besides the weekly free broadcasts, Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service, and when you pledge to our Patreon page, you automatically become a subscriber. So it's easy. The premium service includes video content plus additional exclusive shows like Star Trek from the Holodeck, Comic Book Chaos, DC on CW, mm-hmm. Supernatural The Crossroads, and more. So head over to patreon.com/RainManDigital and sign up today.
Yeah, I think we're actually going to have like a Jerry's Kids telethon to get our Patreon here up, so look forward to that coming.
Oh boy.
So all the people will be coming in, and because we need money to help run the network, and we're getting close to our first goal, so we're gonna kind of push out new tiers coming up in the next couple weeks.
The Rain Man Show.
I was surprised that they even existed. I didn't even know. I thought they went belly up years ago. I didn't know right. Boy Scouts was still a thing.
Well, because how many people know how to do any of that stuff anymore? Tie knots, help old ladies across the street.
Every member of the kink community.
Okay. Listen, the King community were not Boy Scouts. I guarantee it.
Well,
useless skills that you will never use in your life, except those lonely nights when you realize you're 40, you're a Boy Scout, and you're a virgin.
On your 48th camping
then
trip.
Then you're going to be tying those sailor knots on those lonely nights.
On that noose.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, we are back. Let's get into Supergirl Season 3, Episode 19, The Fanatical, directed by Mersey Almas. I don't know if I said that right, but whatever. Written by Paula Yu and Eric Carrasco. So the Lena and Supergirl drama is not over. That's still continuing. Right away, you know, Lena's got this visual field, this like visual dampener sort of thing that Kryptonians can't see through. Humans can't see through it either, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
It's not discriminant.
No.
It's for everybody. Nobody can see.
Nobody can see. And of course, Kara doesn't like it because she can't see through it.
Because it hurts her.
Yeah, well, it only hurts her when she uses her X-ray vision.
Yeah, nobody.
It's not like her X-ray vision's always on.
It made me laugh that when they're like, she can't X-ray through that. No, we've created the technology that they can't. Well, let me try. She yeah. looks at him like, she just told you it didn't work. What did you expect when you start staring at it? Again, I might just be on the Supergirl hate train lately.
Choo-choo.
Yes, exactly.
I gotta say, I love Lena's attitude about everything, though, because honestly, she doesn't deserve to be chastised for everything she's doing. Because Kara, once again, is just like, wow, so you have a thing that I can't see through? Okay, well, why didn't you tell me? Because why do I need to tell? I don't need to tell you everything I fucking like think about that has any sort of effect on you at all, or like that, you know, that you can't see through or you can't do this and that. Like, what?
Yeah, Kara has become like that person with dietary needs that wants to tell you every time you do something, like, oh, I made this. Is there dairy in it? I'm lactose intolerant. You're like, didn't know that. I didn't put dairy in it to make you poop your pants. Like, I'm sorry. And that's what I feel like every time she talks now. She's just like, I'm Kryptonian. Why are you doing that to
me? It's only to Lena, though.
Yeah, exactly. She found that one person that's like triggers her on everything.
Mm-hmm. And, but I love Lena's response of just being like, you know, it might come as a surprise to you that I don't think about you at all when I'm working.
I'm not Lex.
I'm not working to create things that you can't see through you can't do things with.
That's all I'm waiting for is I'm not Lex.
Right.
And you are not Superman. We're not enemies.
Yeah. So stop acting like it. Just stop. Because she's dealing with Rain, who has a similar like
genetic
DNA
makeup,
structure. Yeah. To Kara and to, you know, Kryptonians. She has Kryptonian shit going on and has similar weaknesses and stuff. And in order to keep Rain enclosed, it means she's going to have to fiddle with stuff that affects Kryptonians. And yeah, Kara, sorry, but she's not sitting there working and scheming to do anything bad to you.
Rain is not the science experiment to ultimately end you.
Yeah.
She's not the guinea pig in this. And that's what Kara makes her out
and
to be.
And newsflash, Lena doesn't really want to be in the same room as you right now. But guess what? She's being civil. She's doing her job. She's helping her friend. She's helping you. And she's, you know, cooperating.
She's adulting.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Yeah. And I don't know. But, I mean, I did appreciate Kara's attempts to apologize to her. Because I know she's hurting about it as Kara. And, I'm a little frustrated that we've gotten to a point in the story where, so Kara tries to apologize, and Lena says, you know, it's easy to say sorry when you're exposed.
That's the most truest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always easy to apologize after the fact.
Yeah. It's not as easy to apologize before someone finds out about it and to be the one to tell them about it.
Dude, how awkward must it be for the rest of the crew to know that this is going on and to know that you know, Kara is Supergirl and that she doesn't know, and just to sit there, it's almost like you know that somebody's cheating on somebody and you don't want to be the one to expose that relationship to break it up, but everybody in the room knows and everybody's just staring going, this shit's gonna go bad.
Yeah. I honestly can't tell if Lena even knows anymore. Like, I don't know.
Because sometimes it seems like she's playing it off like she's just waiting for her to say something.
Yeah. And Lena's smart enough that I think that she would know to be like, oh, Kara, blah, 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 and know to be like happy about Kara to other people and happy to Kara. And I don't know. But she totally set it up like, I already have friends. Like, why are you so insistent on being my friend? I have friends. Friends who don't lie to me and scheme behind my back.
That's what I was just like, wow, that's a backhanded like thing that I would say to people. Like, just in that total passive-aggressive way.
Yeah.
And that's when, like, at that moment was the moment that I was like, I think she knows again. You know, because I'm like on the teeter-totter with that. Sometimes I'm like, yes, she knows. And then other times I'm like, no, I don't think she knows. This was one of those moments when I was like, this bitch knows, and she's playing off of it right now.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. And I don't know. It's just...
It has to end, right? Like, soon.
It has to.
Because we can't keep dragging this out.
I hate that we've gotten to a point where Kara is content to not tell her. Because even though it's hard on her, it would be harder on Lena. But, like, honestly, no. It would be harder on you afterwards because you would lose your friend.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, it would suck for Lena. But also, like, you would be the one really losing out. She's a better friend.
Yeah.
Well,
that, and it's just, you know, you're putting the whole group at risk now.
Yeah. Well, and... she already knows everybody else, though.
Mm-hmm.
She knows all their identities and who they work for and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, there's no secrets. Well, why are we keeping this one?
Yeah. And I do understand Supergirl wanting to keep her identity secret from as many people as possible to protect them. But at this point, Lena's in on it. And Lena's a fully capable, grown-ass woman with, like, super weapons at her disposal and, like, billions of dollars and... security and all sorts of shit if she needs it. And yeah, a brilliant mind.
Yeah, and labs that are on the you know, the level of DEO.
Yeah.
You know, like, so that this extra resources that you're just alienating by.
Well, that and, like, I don't think you're giving her enough credit.
No.
And she can take care of herself. She's not the person that you need to...
focus your...
worry about, like, someone, like, being endangered. And she's also smart, and she knows how to lie, like, if she needs to.
Yeah, she's a Luther.
Yeah. Okay. Mon-El had a point, though. You know, if you tell her the truth now, you'll be doing it for you and not for her. I agree with half of what he said. I mean, he said that, you know, it would only be hurting her if you told her, and, you know, you'd only be making you feel better. But at the same time, like, wouldn't it hurt her more to know that you never
told her? Yes.
Told her.
I am in the same boat you kind of, I think you are, where it made sense when he said it. But in my head, I'm going, yeah, it would take a weight off of her shoulders. But it would also start the healing process of, I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, those things.
And
but because the longer it goes on, the worse it's going to get for both of them.
Especially after this first, like, lie and whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this first,
like,
betrayal.
Three or four episodes where she could have said something.
And, like, her telling her would be a show of good faith of, like, I'm sorry. Here is me putting my trust in you. And I'm sorry that I didn't tell you sooner. And I hope that you can forgive me. I know I screwed up and I don't want to lie to you. And this is probably not a great thing to say because I've been lying to you, I guess. But I was doing it to protect you
and everybody else. But
here is my secret.
Yes.
Here is my identity. I'm trusting you with it in, like, you know, a show of good faith. Rather than another situation of, like, wow, see, it's so much easier to apologize after someone's already figured out what you did.
Yeah.
Like,
I almost feel like if the first speech or the first apology would have went like, no, we need to repair our relationship, you know, as Supergirl and her, and like, I don't need friends, if it would have ended with, yeah, but I am the same person, so we need to fix this because I value your friendship, you know,
and I made a mistake.
And I made a mistake because you are a Luther and our families don't have the best, you know.
Well, more so because I got emotional about kryptonite would be the better.
Yeah, something. There. I mean, yeah, just something. It's just easier to spill it and come out instead of every time you're walking up to each other, you're like, oh, here we go. Here's apology number 34, awkwardly said.
Yeah. This, I mean, it's got to end soon.
And dude, it's exhausting to watch sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just like, and unfortunately, it looks like next week they're going to go away on the spaceship, so they're probably not going to have any interaction with her. Which means that we're going to be talking about it 2 weeks from now.
I don't know, man. I'm bummed. Bring them back together.
Yeah.
I don't know. Things can't always be perfect. They can't always be paradise. I get that. I know.
It just seems like adults should be able to figure this out a lot faster. Should.
You would think. Oh boy, would you think. Yeah,
it seems so simple on this microphone.
Hitting real close to home right now, Bob. Uh-oh. You would think that two adults should be able to figure things out and talk them out more easily. You would think. Anyway, enough about my shit. So let's talk about the cult of Kovel. I think I expected to see more of himself in this episode. Yeah. I saw, what's his name?
Chad Lowe.
I couldn't remember his first name. I saw his name at the bottom of the screen towards the beginning of the episode, and I expected to see a little more of him, but it worked. The story was not necessarily what I expected.
No.
So they're trying to create a new world killer. That's insane. Like, how has he had this much time to figure that out?
They had enough time to figure it out, find the material.
Well, no, he figured it out.
Yeah.
And then, like, wrote it down, and then they were like, oh, this is how we do this. Yeah. This is fine. Like, what? But we figured out how to cure Sam.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Probably. More than likely. A really good possibility. But, I mean, they figured out a possible cure for her, a very likely cure, and it's, you know, a specific stone, and yay! But that's something. That's a step in the right direction, because, honestly, before that, I had no idea how they were anticipating doing that.
I just keep waiting for her to break out of that prison.
I know. And it's going to happen soon.
Yeah, right? It has to.
They said it's only going to be a couple days that they can hold her in there from this point. So, it was a whole crazy thing. And they, like, evaporated a person. I don't even know.
They evaporated a person but the necklace.
Yeah.
That's what I got. I was like, wait a minute.
Wait a second.
They nuked a guy, but the necklace stayed.
You know, I mean, plots.
just go with it.
My favorite part of the episode, though, was Mon-El going kind of undercover as Mike again and catching a lift in the van.
This is mine.
The kidnapping van.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry guys, this is mine. He was adorable. Was super funny.
Yes, and it was one of those moments where watching him act, you know, and being back on the show full time and not being all like tied up in Legion shit.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is funny. It was written funny. It was acted real well.
We have him back.
Yeah.
It feels like actual Mon-El again. Because he used to be a funny character. Yes. He used to just be charming and kind of goofy. And now he's all mature and sad.
Yeah.
Mature and sad and brokenhearted.
Yeah. And then this was the first time we've actually seen him back. And so I actually laughed at the scene when the dude like punched him. And I was just
he pretended to be hurt.
Yeah. He's like, ow. He's like, well, this is mine. Well, I might as well go where you're going.
I'm very scared of you.
Yeah. Can we play some music? And then he gets punched. I was just like, all right, that's funny. And I give it to him. They everything about that scene worked with Mon-El.
Yeah.
including the escape and the quick change. And mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, this is great. I like, this is the stuff that kind of reminded me of like the older Supergirl stuff, to where it wasn't so just like mopey serious. And it was a good balance from the Kara Lena storyline of just being like all mopey. And then of course the James thing, which we'll get into later, you know, which was just serious pants. It's been a while since we've had like a fun type
comedic
thing.
Relief.
Yeah.
That wasn't from Wynn.
Yes.
Wynn has been kind of our sole source of comedy in this show. And when he doesn't have a huge part in an episode, it means we're getting just real sad times for most of the episode. But yeah, we have Mon-El back. It feels nice. I feel like I want him to stick around. And I don't know if I want him to be back with Kara, but I want him to stick around. But Bob and I were talking about this whole scene with like Supergirl and Mon-El and the cult and the fight. And there's a particular moment, but let's talk about the fight itself first, because even, it was what?
Oh, no. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, what?
No, even the fight with Mon-El, it was just funny watching everybody try to fucking punch him.
I know.
And he's just sitting there like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
I can't punch you too hard. I'm just going to hurt you. Oh, this is annoying. I don't want to take all these punches. Can you guys stop? Oh, my God.
It like fucking flies around him.
Yeah.
And then the thing, the rafters fall or the lightning rig falls, and he's just like, oh, I guess I should save you guys.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, no, it was good. It was really good. And I liked that you could tell that, one, Kara was kind of holding back a little bit, because mm-hmm. this girl had just been human and she doesn't know the extent of like, okay, is she like full on world killer powers now? Or is she just like sort of super strong, but not completely? Like, where is this?
We're all confused about your ability level right now.
Yeah. And she doesn't want to just decimate this girl.
she just fucking evaporates her. And it's like, yeah, we could have fixed this. Oh, my bad.
Also, I think she's used to, at this point, fighting someone with a little more finesse. Too, yeah. Like someone that can kind of anticipate moves and stuff like that. But this girl, she doesn't know how to fight. She just got superpowers and she's like, I'm strong now. I punch.
Yeah. Bizarro type.
Yeah. Me am weak. So I liked how they choreographed it, because you could tell she was untrained and she was just like, I'm strong now, so that makes me unbeatable, or at least as competent as you. And she got in a few good like sucker punches on Supergirl, but mm-hmm. at the end of the day, like, Supergirl knows how to kind of control the fight for the most part, you know?
Yeah.
There's going to be some unpredictable things, because it's hard to predict someone who doesn't usually fight.
Exactly.
But then she, you know, she talks her down in true Supergirl fashion once again.
I can find the human in you.
Yeah. But it was nice to see that, because I feel like she's been so kind of negative lately, that it was nice to see her kind of tap back into, okay, hey, talk to me. Listen, I know that you don't feel like, you know, things matter, or like, you know, you're anything without that stone or this cult or whatever the hell, you know, but it's okay. We all kind of feel that way. And she talked her down and then almost sliced her little arm off with her laser eyes.
Her arm was gone.
Her arm was
in my head.
Yeah. It was going to be gone.
They couldn't get that rock out of her hand. And she's like, Mon-El, hold her arm out. I'm like, what the fuck is she doing?
She's like, she's becoming Luke Skywalker is what's happening.
Do they have robotic arms that they can fit her with? Because this bitch is losing her hand.
Right. A hand for a rock. It's whatever.
Yeah. You're like, sorry, your hand is worth more than we need to save this world. So we'll.
Sorry, you did this. Bye.
Yeah. And I'm like, she's just going to cauterize this wound, too.
Well, yeah. Just cauterize it and then drop her off at the hospital. Yeah. I don't know. My bad. Bye.
Tell the DEO or FBI or whatever. We'll fix it.
Yeah, I did not think that she was going to be able to be that precise. But I guess she just kind of like heated up the rock.
Yeah,
until it like burned off of her.
Imagine me and Mon-El holding that rod's fingers as Supergirl's shooting her laser eyes at her.
Whatever.
Like, you better hit. Don't sneeze.
If she sneezed, her eyes would
blow everybody
close.
Out.
But yeah, I mean, I'm glad to see the cult stuff kind of come to a close, though. It felt like a loose thread that was kind of hanging. And I'm glad it's closed up before. I mean, with the exception of Kovel at the end.
Himself.
But the rest of the cult is kind of like, all right, we're done here. It's nice to see that before, like, the last couple episodes.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it is kind of the last couple episodes.
Well, it's just not a loose string.
Yeah, but it's not like the finale or something that it's getting wrapped up in. Okay, with that, let's talk about Patreon real quick. So if you would like more DC on CW, go to patreon.com/rainmandigital to get some. We're constantly adding additional content each and every month, including DC on CW Presents, where the DC on CW hosts discuss any and all things DC related. Also, the new Black Lightning series has been added to our lineup of shows to cover, but in order to hear our discussion on this series, you've got to pledge to our Patreon. When you pledge $5 or more a month, you'll gain access to all of this, plus hours of additional Rain Man digital content. And Black Lightning is on Netflix if you want to watch it. Yep. The rest of the shows are, you know, a couple weeks away from
wrapping up. So yeah. they'll be coming soon. Also, right now, because this is the fourth anniversary of the Rain Man Network, we are discounting the video tier from $10 to $7. So you can get all the video content for only $2 extra. And that includes all the podcast stuff we just talked about. So go ahead and take advantage of that right now during our anniversary month.
Alrighty, so let's talk Guardian now. Guardian. There was a lot of James in this episode, and it was with purpose, and it was good. It worked. I wasn't expecting this. I knew from the teaser from the preview for this episode that Guardian's identity was at risk of being leaked to the world or the city or whatever. But I didn't know that they were going to go the route they did with the story. I didn't know that they were going to do what they did with the cops, because, I mean, it's totally a real scenario and something that's definitely happened to Green Arrow as well. However, he obviously was weaponized. Like, he obviously had weapons on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would be standing next to someone that he just shot with an arrow, and he was already like a known killer vigilante rather than just like a watchful protector sort of vigilante. So in that instance, it totally makes sense that the cops would be like, hey, no, stay where you are, put your weapon down, blah, blah, blah. We're going to probably shoot you if you don't.
Yeah.
But the James thing, you know, him saying, I'm unarmed. I'm not armed. You know, my hands are up. I'm cooperating. And they still, you know, even though a girl next to him was pleading and being like, no, he was protecting me. It was them. And the Guardian's known for being a hero.
Yeah.
Not a killer vigilante, the way the Green, he doesn't have that notoriety that Arrow did.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a disappointing moment. And I think it took a second for it to click, because I'm just so used to, okay, yeah, James is a hero.
I did not put it together either at first, where they stopped him because he was a black man.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, I'm more open-minded than that. I should have got that right away, but I didn't. I was just like, they're all confused because it was three normal-looking people and one
versus
dude
a guy in a suit.
Yes,
yeah.
That's the way I looked at it.
Hello, not as a white privilege.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I definitely didn't even think about it that way. But yeah, it took a second for me because I was just like, no, they're going after the hero. Like, yeah, he looks tough and he's armored and whatever, but that doesn't mean he's like the enemy. But then it led to a really good scene between James and Lena, and Lena is trying to convince him not to put his identity out there, and he's just like, he starts talking about the first time that he was ever put in handcuffs. He was 7 years old, and it was because, you know, he and his cousins and his family were staying somewhere, and it was a nice place, and they were playing hide and seek. Cops came up and didn't think that they belonged there based on the fact that they were black. And yeah. they were, you know, just kids hanging out. And they viewed black youth as not belonging or, you know, not good enough to be there or automatically causing trouble. Yeah.
I'd give it to, you know, Mekhi Brooks. I mean, the way he portrayed it, it was almost like he was drawing from something emotional inside him that he somehow experienced that one time. Because, again, we've talked about, like, the solitary man tier is probably the most powerful thing in acting.
But I gotta say, so Tanya, the girl that he was protecting.
Uh-huh.
When he's talking to her about it, she mentions, you know, I've seen it 1,000 times. I've seen it happen to my brother. I've seen it happen to my dad. I've seen it, you know, I've seen so many people be put in that position that you were just put in, and it's not right. It's not okay. So honestly, maybe he was drawing on something yeah. that really happened, you know, maybe not even to him, but maybe someone he knew
yeah.
in some form, some way. It happens all over this country. And it's beyond unacceptable to just make that assumption of someone, you know, especially if they're cooperating. So yeah, it was a really good scene, and he did an amazing job. And it's great to see him really, I don't know, kind of give that type of performance, because I don't feel like James is put in that position usually. He's usually just like, hey, guys, I'm James. Oh, come on, let's do this. Or like, don't be like that. Listen, I'm here for you. You know what I mean? Like, he's very supporting character.
Yes. It's a very different than any kind of Jimmy Olsen you would come to expect when you say Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
So.
But he's very much just like, I don't know. He's not a very emotional person, or he just doesn't have outbursts of emotion very often.
Mm-hmm.
But Lena has his back with, you know, whatever he wants to do. And if he wants to expose himself as the guardian, she will stand right beside him and support him.
Yeah. She wanted to go out there with him. And I thought that it showed a lot from her character.
Yeah.
You know, standpoint that no matter what goes on, that's what a friendship is. It doesn't matter how shitty it is. It's like, look, I'm going to stand next to you.
Yeah.
You know, shit happens, you know, but the only thing I can do is be there and be supportive. You know, it wasn't like, well, you know what? I run this company and we're just trying to get our name back because of Lex. I can't really go out there and put myself out on the line for this. It was like, no, I'm there for you. Whatever you do, I'm going to stand next to you. And I was right. like, you're a good lady.
So James mentioned that he was worried about how people would react if they knew the Guardian was black, and how he was, for once, he got to be judged based on only his actions and only his compassion, rather than skin color coming into effect at all and skewing someone's judgment one way or another. And he had concerns about how, you know, the Guardian would be perceived if people knew that this vigilante was a black man. And I would love to say that I don't think that people would react negatively if they knew a vigilante was a black man.
Yeah, but we know we are the minority in some things when it comes to this.
Yeah.
That people view skin color more than us and our friends.
Yeah, there would be a lot of people that would not react negatively, and there'd be a lot of people that were inspired by it, or would look up to him even more.
Mm-hmm.
And then there would be people who would say, oh, well, this guy's, you know, he's hiding behind a mask, and he's, you know, how do we even know that he's not committing any crimes himself? Or, you know, how do yeah. we know that he's really going after bad guys and blah, blah, blah.
Who
and
is
how,
he?
Yeah. Oh, he's just a thug. He's just, you know, this is just how he's getting out his urge for violence. Something like that.
Yeah, they would turn into something.
Yeah. But all of this motivates Tanya, and she doesn't want to let him totally put his life on the line when she's the one that stole the book and ran away, and she's the one that was involved with this, et cetera. And I really appreciated a minor character, a side character like that, finally stepping up and being like, no, listen, I'm not going to let you put yourself on the line. Like, this is not, I'm not going to let you do this for me. I'm going to go in there. I will accept some help from you guys, but I'm not going to allow you to just, like, even start going through the motions of exposing yourself.
Yeah. Like, put me in witness protection, and you guys bear the brunt of every decision that I made.
She was like, no, I got to go finish this, so let me just go there. Okay, you can send a super-powered person with me. That's fine, but...
Please?
Yeah. But, you know, let me take care of this.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, it wrapped up nicely with that last speech with Kara. A lot of, you shouldn't be afraid. You know, he shouldn't be afraid to be himself and to be the guardian and to, you know. And he has the opportunity to motivate people who look like him, people of color, to be and do better, and he can be a role model and all of this stuff. And he does have a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah. And I think it all, that whole speech that he gave, like, you know, was just a reflection of what happened with Tanya there.
Yeah.
You know, and it was cool how they kind of linked those two things, you know, it's such a serious moment, but also showing the good that can come out of somebody knowing who she is. Because, you know, she was completely head over heels, like, excited that James was who he was.
Yeah.
You know, and you could see it in her eyes, and you know, you could see that it motivated her, and it should work. He should, hopefully, if they do it the right way, it should be the same way that, like, kind of Kara and Supergirl is for females.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of females, what a good segue, right?
Speaking of females and black people.
Well, yeah. You get one young and one old from both of them. So Ruby and Alex are going through a thing. Ruby is pretty messed up from shit going down with her mom. Totally reasonable. She's a child.
Understandable.
Yeah, definitely. She's in a weird, like, grief situation. She's confused. She doesn't know what's going on. Like, she doesn't know how to feel. She's a kid. That was some weird shit.
What always cracked me up is it's like when Alex, they show her getting dressed in the locker room and all those books are there, and she's like, I thought I'd be an expert at this, and now I'm reading these. I'm like, what fucking do-it-yourself book or self-help book said how to deal with my mom, the world killer?
Yeah. What, like, when Jean comes out with those witty, like, dad one-liners.
Yeah.
Those dad jokes. I love it. I love when he, like, because he used to be so grumpy and kind of crotchety all the time and so shut off. And then he's just totally opened up to everyone.
Yeah. When they magically got rid of that thing that he's not evil, you know, and we found out that he's Martian Manhunter, we kind of saw that change of, all right, we can let some of the personality out.
Yeah. And it was a slow progression, but now he's just, you know, dad.
Yeah.
And he's still a little reserved with stuff and whatever, but I love when he comes out with those jokes. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Yeah. So, and obviously he's been struggling with his dad.
I think we all have.
Oh, yeah. That's a rough one. But so they decide to go to the arcade. There's a freak out, blah, blah, blah.
The arcade just lets them stay around.
Yeah. Well, I think they
throw the FBI badges out there.
Well, no, I think he had to pay for that machine. So instead of just throwing them out, that, you know, he obviously calmed down.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, we're going to leave, but, you know, just let's sit him down here. He's an old man with, we'll say, dementia for, you know, the human's sake of understanding. So,
that's his cover.
Yeah. I mean, it basically is dementia. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think, because he even said, he was like, I got to go talk to this guy. Like, I got to go figure this shit out, which probably means I got to pay for that arcade game.
Yeah, exactly.
And Alex went to go get the car. But I honestly, when they were talking about it and they were, you know, Jean was saying, like, yeah, I'm struggling with my dad, too. My first thought was, why don't you get them together? because neither one of them is going to be pushy in a way that they don't want or appreciate or accept. You know what I mean? Like, Alex is trying really hard, and she really cares, and she's trying to do her best. But at the same time, someone who's really messed up emotionally and really, like, sad or grieving or just kind of messed up in the head right now and down, they don't respond well to, do you want to go do this? Do you want this? Do you want that? What are you going to do? Do you want to, what's something you want to do? Do you want to eat this snack that you love? Do you want to do this thing that you've always wanted to do? Like, no, I don't want to do any of that.
Yeah.
I just want to try to exist for a little while. And it comes across as exhausting and kind of obnoxious. And you can
stop nagging.
Yeah. It feels like nagging, even though it's, you know, trying to be kind and it's positive.
Yeah. I think we've all had those meltdowns where people are, you're just like, just stop. If you just stop for 2 seconds, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong? What's wrong is you keep asking me what's fucking wrong. Just let me be for a second.
Chill the hell out. Yeah. But if you were to put Ruby and Myrn in the same room and let them just kind of like, hey, how's it going? Oh.
Let them be.
Yeah, they're kind of at the same pace right now. And neither one of them's going to be super pushy about like, well, do you want to do this? What's going to make you feel better? No one's going to start talking about, you know, making the other feel better. They're just going to start talking and they'll be at the kind of the same like wavelength and kind of take each other's minds off of it for a minute and maybe bond over the fact that they're both struggling with something.
Yeah.
And it's different, but they can talk about it in a way that's not like exhausting to them.
So what did you think about her finding out that they're Martian?
I expected her to have more questions.
Like, she was just like all right with it. But I guess if you see your mom as a world killer and
that, and she knows like Supergirl is
a thing. I guess in my head, I thought it would turn out something different. But now that we've talked about it, we forget that the aliens are walking amongst them all the time. It's not as hidden as like a Flash and or an Arrow universe.
There's still a minority for sure. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there's still people who are like, oh my God, you're an alien.
Yeah.
Definitely, especially if they don't look like regular humans.
Because
mm-hmm. Kryptonians and Daxamites and Martians can get away with, you know, looking human.
Yeah. And it's not Wynn's girlfriend would rib for her pleasure on her head.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's easier for people to swallow now that they know that aliens exist and some of them as refugees have come to Earth and they're living there. When that person from a different planet looks like a regular person, I think that's an easier pill to swallow.
Yeah, easier to stomach.
You're just like, wow. It's like, oh, you're from Europe? That's cool.
You look European.
Yeah. So I think, honestly, that's how most people would react if they looked human.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't, there might be a little more weirdness to it.
It was weird. It was a thought in my head until I said it out loud. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
She's also a big fan of Supergirl.
Yeah.
So I don't
think... She's seen some shit.
I don't think an alien, especially if she can see that they're a kind person and pretty normal, I don't think that's something that would be like, oh, wow, what? That's crazy. Like,
yeah.
I think she's sort of desensitized to it. But they bond over foosball and that's kind of neat. And I think that's going to help each one of them get through things a little bit. So I don't know, but it also might be much harder when.
Just another person going to be sad when he dies.
Yeah.
Everybody I love has been taken away from
maybe,
me.
But maybe this helps him, you know, maybe this is the stimulation he needs to kind of fight the dementia.
Yep. Instead of being locked in a house by himself.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. I gotta say this episode went a different way than I expected, but I really liked it. I thought it was a nice way to wrap up the cult stuff for the most part, at least, you know, and explain what's been going on, you know, why they've been absent, stuff like that. They took some time to talk about a social issue without making it the entire episode. They touched on it enough and they touched about it in a really meaningful way, but it wasn't pandering and it wasn't a whole episode dedicated to gun laws that they never even chose a side on. Arrow.
Talking to you, fucking Arrow.
Yeah, it was just like, that's a struggle. And I was scared there for a moment. And, you know, I have conflicted feelings about this. And a heartfelt performance with it. And
I'm glad it turned out a lot better than I expected. At the beginning, when they went the route with Supergirl and Lena, like, doing the bickering thing again, I was like, here we go. And then they turned it into more of a message type thing with Jimmy.
Yeah.
Which I liked a lot better. That helped advance the story. And like you said, it wasn't just like a fucking pandering because we need gun reform. You know, it was done for a reason. It was done that was in line with the story and helped the story advance.
And it wasn't even like, we need to now focus on this for the rest of the show. That's not a job for the DEO.
Yeah, exactly.
That has nothing to do with the DEO's, like, nature at all. But as a black man who is a vigilante, it would make sense that that might come up at one point or another. And to address that felt real. You know, it felt like it was a legitimate thing that might come up and might happen to him, and that he would have some real emotions about.
Yeah. And they did it well. They did it sensitively, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that would be the right word for it. It wasn't just like over the top. It wasn't fuck whitey.
No, because you know, clearly he doesn't hate white people.
Nah.
And he doesn't blame all cops or all white people.
Yeah, because, you know, they sometimes go with that route.
Yeah.
You know, the writers do, where it's just to the extreme. That he, you know, that you saw like a passion for the Guardian that I don't know if we've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think before we always thought the Guardian was, he was doing it because he wanted to be a super.
Yeah.
And we obviously see now there's more motivation to do what he does, I guess.
And whether that motivation was always clear to him previously, I don't know. But he has found new. It gives the Guardian more purpose. Honestly, and it might not be limited to just motivating or inspiring black or brown people. You know what I mean? Like, it may not just be like that. It may extend to all minorities, including aliens. You know, like, maybe that might be something that his character gets into.
Yeah.
Which would be cool. Because the show does have alien refugees, and that's a major, like, cornerstone to this world. So, yeah, it was done well.
Yes, and again, they for me, I think the transition from the beginning to the end, yeah. I was really thinking I was going to be just like, I can't believe they're still fucking fighting about this shit,
and,
you know, for an hour.
I'm glad to see that Kara's kind of stepping away from her own shit and, like, putting aside her pride and trying to, she's made attempts to apologize. And when Lena was just like, nope, no, she was like, okay, understood. I'm sorry. Cause Lena has every right to be mad, every right. And, to see Kara swallow her pride a little bit and just try and figure out what the actual right thing to do is and not just what's going to make her feel better. After she's been lashing out at Lena, is nice to see.
Yep.
So, next episode, we have some crazy stuff to look forward to. I'm really excited about it. But I don't know how much more we're going to see of, like, the Lena and Kara stuff. I think you're right. I don't know how much of that we're going to get.
They're leaving planet, so I don't know. It shouldn't come up again next week.
We might have some big Lena, Kara explosive stuff in the episode leading up to and then the season finale. That might be a huge part of the story. And I hope it ends well.
Yes. I don't want it to go bad.
I don't want a Luther supervillain.
No.
No, she won't. She would never. She would just be cold.
Yeah. Just disconnect herself.
Yeah. All right. Well, unless you've got anything else to add,
Bob, no, that's it.
That's going to do it for us today on DC on CW Supergirl Edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man digital app, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW, and our Instagram is at DC_on_CW, and we will catch you next time.
We all slow down for that one.
Because it's, you know, you don't want to flub it up.
Exactly. And I fuck it up every time I do it, so...
How did you do that?
I'm Supergirl.
You're who now?